A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, what great readings we have today for reflection. Really beautiful. You know, this one, Gospel, is from the Last Supper, where Jesus is talking about the Spirit coming. And it's maybe a good idea to take stock of where we are in the Easter season. This is the sixth Sunday, and Thursday is Ascension Thursday. And then a week from Sunday is Pentecost, right? There's the seventh Sunday, and then 10 days after 10 days after Ascension Thursday is Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so 6 weeks ago, Jesus rose from the dead, and he spends these weeks now, 40 days more or less, appearing to his disciples, reassuring them, reminding them of everything he had taught for 3 years, which they seemed to forget totally during Holy Week when they all ran away. And even though he had told them that he had to suffer and die, they all kind of gave up, right, toward the end. But he spends these 40 days going over things, reminding them of everything he had taught, the Beatitudes and all the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount, and that he was the eternal Son of the Father, and then there was the Holy Spirit. And he taught them all the sacraments all over again during those 40 days. And here he is at the Last Supper talking too. And we have those things coming up on the calendar. This Thursday, Ascension Thursday. And then a week from Sunday, it'll be, or 2 weeks from now, Pentecost, right? The coming of the Holy Spirit. And we'll have adults being received into the church and confirmations going on for adults in the Spanish community. That's when we usually do it, with the Spanish community. And we already had 10 or 11 English-speaking people at the Easter Vigil receive the sacraments, come into the church. And now those people are all getting their marriages regularized and straightened out. It's really a beautiful thing to see these days. There's a couple today, I married them, and they were only civilly married. They're going to receive their sacraments on Pentecost. And then they had a little girl they never baptized, so we baptized the baby too. Well, she wasn't a baby, she's about 3 or 4, but, you know, little kid. And so all that's going on in the Easter season now. And we have that first reading. It's about Philip going up to Samaria. And he has great success preaching about the resurrection of Jesus. And now Philip was just a deacon, right? He wasn't one of the apostles, right? And he gets up there to Samaria. You remember in chapter 4 of St. John's Gospel, Jesus and the apostles were passing through Samaria, and Jesus spoke to that woman at the well. And she was the woman who had 500 husbands and was living with a sixth guy, right? And Jesus spoke to her and told her that he was the Messiah that they had been waiting for. And she went back and told the whole village, and everybody came out to Jesus. And now Philip is there, back with those Samaritans, and he's telling them about how Jesus was crucified and how he rose from the dead. And they remembered back when Jesus had passed through the town a year or two before, and that they were so impressed with him, and they started to put their faith in him. But now they see that as the fulfillment of the prophecy. And the reason this is so important in the Bible is because the Samaritans weren't Jewish people. You know, hundreds of years before, they had all been Jewish, but that was one of the northern kingdoms of the kingdom of Israel in the time of King David. But they got invaded by the Syrians, and they had gotten paganized because the Syrians were pagans, and little by little, the Jewish people fell away, and they made a mix of Judaism and paganism. And that's why the woman at the well is saying to Jesus, well, you Jews believe that the Messiah will come in Jerusalem, and that's the place to worship. You have the temple there. But we have our temple up here. And so there was a big difference between the Jews and the Samaritans. They had broken off and develop different traditions. You might say it's a little like ourselves and the Episcopalians, right? The Episcopalians got going in England when King Henry VIII couldn't get an annulment of his marriage from the Pope, and so he broke off and started his own version of the church and made himself the head of the church. And that's where the Anglicans came from, and in the U.S. they're called Episcopalians, right? And so we've kind of diverged from them. And now they've got a woman archbishop in the running the Anglican Communion. So things have kind of gotten further apart. Well, it's a little like that with the Samaritans and the Jews. They didn't like each other. They didn't get along. And the Jews always accused them of being half pagan. And I guess the Samaritans saw the Jews as like a little over the top, you know. A little too strict. Well, whatever the case, Philip has success preaching to them. And there's this hope that these people who had drifted away could come back. And the apostles down in Jerusalem hear about this. And they send Peter and John, the two top apostles, right? Peter was the Pope and St. John was the disciple that Jesus loved. And they send them up there. And they realize that Philip hadn't given them the whole truth. He just got across what he could. But they hadn't yet received the Holy Spirit. They hadn't received confirmation yet. And so they confer confirmation on the Samaritans. And so this is like one of the first groups of people that really weren't Jews who start to come into the faith. And it's a sign to us, even before St. Paul really gets going on his missionary journeys to the pagan peoples in Greece and Turkey and all over, that everybody is called to be a Christian. That God wants everybody to be converted and saved. And that's still a challenge for us today, you know, because we kind of just passively accept the fact that, well, those Muslims, they're really different, you know. And those Hindus, who could ever convince a Hindu, you know, or a Buddhist, or somebody, a Shintoist, or a Confucianist, or like, oh, okay, that's their religion over there. But the truth is, every single human person who is on the face of the earth today or in the future is called to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because there's no salvation except through Jesus Christ. That's not to say everybody who's not a Christian is going to hell. No, that's different. But all of grace comes through Jesus Christ. And that's what spurs our missionary efforts. That's what makes us so passionate about bringing the gospel out to absolutely everyone. And that's why you shouldn't give up on your brother-in-law or your mother-in-law or that neighbor down the block, even though they seem so stubborn. And set in their ways, keep praying for them. Keep trying to find a way to reach them, little by little, prayer and sacrifice is the first thing you got to do and the last thing you got to do. And then speak when it's prudent. But we want everyone into a relationship with Jesus Christ because he's the way, the truth, and the life. That's where the gospel comes in today. He's speaking to the disciples, the apostles, at the Last Supper. And he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You know, we're very good in the modern world of saying, well, you know, I love Jesus, but, you know, I don't agree with everything he taught. You know, so I'm going to do things a little differently. We can't get away with that. No. If we're going to follow Jesus and love him, we embrace everything he taught us. As hard as it might be, as difficult it might be for me right now in my own personal situation, I got to try to live the fullness of what Jesus taught. Whatever it might be. Maybe I've got a little bit different ideas of what justice means or what honesty means, what integrity means, or what sexual morality means. And they diverge from what Jesus taught. Yeah, but the challenge for me is to conform my will to the will of Jesus. Because he's the way and the truth and the life, not me. No, not my little group of friends or relatives or people that think like I do. He's the way and the truth and the life. He says, if you keep my commandments and observe them, that's the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by the Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. So the sincere effort for us to live by Jesus' teaching, even though we're weak, fallible, sinful, that creates the relationship with Jesus, where he comes and reveals himself to us. And he says he'll also send us the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. The world can't accept the Spirit of Truth because they don't like the truth. The world hates the truth because walking in the truth means you have to come out in the light and your evil deeds get exposed. But those who are trying to do the will of God, don't worry about that. They walk in the light of the truth. And this is where our relationship with Christ is the key thing in our lives. Praise God. And the Holy Spirit is there to teach us the meaning of everything Jesus said and did. And so we should have no fear. That Spirit is going to guide us and instruct us. We have to let ourselves be guided and instructed by the Spirit of Jesus so we can have a deep, life-changing relationship with him. Because outside of that, there's no real joy. There's no real peace. There's no real happiness. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to come to all of us, to teach us inwardly the meaning of everything Jesus said and did.